Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm Pastor Maurice Horn. I'm a retired United Methodist pastor, and I'm honored to be able to fill in for Pastor Jack while he's away at the men's retreat. As we look at the passage of Scripture that was read from the Gospel of Luke, we see that Mary was obedient to the law of Moses by following the procedures for purifications. Under the law, when a woman had a baby, then she was considered unclean for 40 days after the birth of the child. But then, after the 40 days, they had to present the child unto the Lord with a sacrificial offering. They would present a lamb if they was able to afford it. But if they couldn't afford it, they offered two turtle doves and two pigeons. The fact that Mary offered the turtle doves or the pigeons was evident that Joseph and Mary was poor. It's kind of a blessing that when Jesus was born, that he was not born into riches. Because you see, had Jesus been born into riches with red carpet treatment, the horn blowing, dun da da da, then those who were poor would have felt they was not worthy to receive the free gift of salvation. But because he was born wrapped up in swaddling clothes in a manger, then everybody and anybody can receive the free gift of salvation, and they can say the words, "Yes, that's for me." When Mary and Joseph entered the temple to present Jesus unto the Lord, Simeon was able to recognize the baby Jesus as the Savior of the world. And he asked, "Can I hold him?" And they allowed Simeon to hold Jesus. And Simeon takes the baby in his arm and began to praise God, for he know that this baby is the one he's been expecting. Simeon has seen the salvation of Israel. God had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death until he has seen Jesus, the Messiah. So now Simeon said to God, "I can now die in peace, for I have seen thy salvation." For a subject this morning I like to use, I must see Jesus. Turn to someone and say, "I must see Jesus." Simeon knew before he died, he had to see Jesus. Because God promised him that he would see Jesus before he died. Now, the scripture does not tell us how long ago Simeon was given that revelation that he would not see death until he see Jesus. But it was believed that he's been waiting a long time. The scripture does not tell us exactly how old Simeon was, but it's believed that he was an elderly person. I can only imagine that there was time when Simeon could feel the aging process taking place in him. And he would feel the aches and the pains in his body. Sometimes it might get so bad that he might have said to himself, "I can't die, not yet, because I must see Jesus." Simeon might have created the mantra, as we call it today, every time he feel those pains, every time he feel the aging process hit him real hard, that he remind himself, "I must see Jesus." That would assure him that in spite of his pain he might be experiencing, he's not going to die because he hasn't seen Jesus yet. So he's steady saying, "I must see Jesus." You see, as we get older, our body dramatically changes. I remember when I was a young man, I used to hear my father talk about the aches and pains in his body. And I don't know if it was because of the look I had on my face from his response, but he said, "But you know, son, if you don't know what I'm talking about, keep living."
Well, next month I'll be 70 years old. I have come to understand exactly what he's talking about. I understand that spring ain't in the chicken no more. I can't run like I used to run. I can't move as fast as I used to move. Even when I go down steps, I notice I go down them a little slower and I hold on to the banister a little tighter. Am I the only one that do that? That's part of the aging process. And we all have to experience it if we live long enough. We begin to get backaches and feet aches and headaches and muscle aches, arthritis, rheumatism, osteoporosis, and all other kind of conditions begin to move within our body. I don't know about you, but there's been time when I have felt so much pain in my body as I get ready to go to sleep at night. When I get through with my prayer, I say, Lord, please let me wake up in the morning. But because the pain is so great, I revert back to that prayer that my mama taught me a long time ago. And I want y'all to pray it with me. Now I lay me down to sleep. If you know it, say it with me. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Woo, I ain't the only one that learned that prayer. Every now and then I have to remind myself that it's not guaranteed to wake up in the morning. We can't take it for granted, no matter how many appointments you got on your schedule, that you're going to get up and meet those appointments. You can't take it for granted that your plane leave at 8 o'clock in the morning and you're going to be on that plane, because it's not promised that you're going to wake up and go to bed and wake up in the morning after going to bed that night. Simeon was human, and as he aged, I believe he experienced those same type of pains in his body. So great that he really wondered, was he going to wake up in the morning? But because God promised him and God cannot lie, he would remind himself and say, as I go to sleep, I must see Jesus. Amen. If you are blessed and have never experienced any aches and pain that I've been talking about, then I'm going to just say to you the same thing my father used to tell me. Keep living, because time will bring about a change. Amen. This passage of scripture also tells us about a woman by the name of Anna. She was a prophet. She was in the temple. It says Anna was very old. She was once married for 7 years and a widow for 84 years. Now, it depends on what translation you read. Some translation says she was a widow to the age of 84, and then other one said she was a widow for 84 years. But it don't make a difference. However it might be, she was a very old lady. You see, in the first century, young girls, they got married around the age of 12, maybe 13 years old. Anna had been married 7 years when her husband died. So that means when her husband died, she had to be about 19 or 20. And if she was a widow all the way up until she was 84, that's a long time. And if she was a widow for 84 years, that would have married her 100. That's still a long time. But either way, she lived in the temple all during those years. She didn't depart from the temple. She spent her entire life praising God and praying and putting prayer requests up. I'm pretty sure that Anna was not one that was in the temple just talking a lot. She was in the temple praying a lot. But that day while she was in the temple, she could kind of hear the commotion coming from Simeon. Because you can imagine, with Simeon getting excited, he didn't hold the baby Jesus and whisper a prayer saying, oh God, I thank you because you've allowed me to see the salvation of Jerusalem. I believe he said it with every ounce of energy in his body. I believe even if his body was hurting, he still shouted out, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to see the baby Jesus. Because Anna heard that, Anna I believe she might have got up from her seat and walked over there or used a walker cane, whatever she may have used to assist her, and joined in on the praise with him. Because you see, she had heard about Jesus being the Savior of the world. She had heard that Jesus was coming to set the Jews free from the oppression of the Roman government. So Anna joined Simeon, and I believe the two of them together had a little praise and worship service at that time because they was praising God. It's amazing that Simeon and Anna would not be known to us today if it was not for this singular incident in the Gospel of Luke. We're talking about I must see Jesus. People all over the world is given the opportunity to learn about Jesus and accept Christ in their life. That's one thing I love about the United Methodist Church. They send missionaries everywhere to every crook and cranny so that everybody gets the opportunity to hear about Jesus. There'll be no land or piece of the country that'll say I never heard of it. Because if it exists, the United Methodist Church is going to send somebody else over there so they can teach them about Jesus. Our mission is to make disciples for Jesus, for the transformation of the world. We want to introduce Jesus to the world. We want the world to know about Jesus. Simeon had been promised by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he see Jesus. No one else in life has ever been promised that they will see Jesus before they die. Life is a gamble. And if you procrastinate to accept Jesus, then you don't know when you're going to die. So it would behoove us to choose Jesus while the blood is flowing through our veins. I had a young man tell me, he said, you know, Reb, he said, I'm gonna wait till I get ready to die to ask Jesus to come in my life. He said, I'm going to be like the thief on the cross. When I get ready to die, I'm going to say, come into my heart, Jesus. But until that time, I'm going to party hard and I'm going to joke. I'm going to have fun. I said, brother, what makes you think when it's time to die, you're going to have a few moments to ask Jesus to come in your life? He said, that's a gamble I got to take. I said, you know, young man, you know what the difference between you and that thief on the cross? He said, what? I said, he was a dying thief and you a living thief. We talking about I must tell Jesus. During Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus said that the gospel will be preached in every nation before the end comes and before his second return. The word of God tells us that Jesus died on the cross, arose from the grave. 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven and promised that he's going to come back again. Now, I know Paul thought 2,000 years ago he was going to come back any day, and he hasn't came yet. It might be another 2,000 years, and it might be another 2,000 seconds. I don't know, but I want to be ready. Amen? I heard a song we used to sing when I was in the choir many years ago when it says, I want to be ready when Jesus comes. It says you ought to set your record right because he may come in the morning, maybe late at night. Say, but when he come, it's going to be too late to pray. So let him have your soul today. Amen. We have to do all within our power to spread the good news to everyone that we can share it with. I remember reading about one preacher, he said, it's our responsibility to spread the good news to everybody. And whenever possible, use words. In other words, spread the good news by the life you live. Not just by trying to preach a sermon to somebody, but by the life you live. So when people look at you, they ought to see Jesus in the way you walk. They ought to see Jesus in the way you talk. They ought to see Jesus in everything you say and do. They ought not be shocked when they find out you a Christian. And they sure ought not be shocked when they find out you a preacher or a leader in the church. Oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. Huh? Praise the Lord. We ought to let our light shine so that the world, when they look at us, they can see Jesus. I love that songwriter that says, you know we are Christians by our love. Not by how much we come to church, by our love. Not how beautiful we can sing, by our love. Not how powerful we can preach, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Amen. When the world look at you, they ought to see Jesus. We're talking about I must see Jesus. You know, in this story, one thing I noticed about Anna and about Simeon, in spite of all the opposition that they faced, in spite of everything that was going on, they were still people of hope. Can you imagine how the biblical story would have been different had Simeon and Anna focused on all the bad things that were happening around them? Nobody can dispute it. There was disease, famine, banditry, slavery. Life expectancy was short. The Romans overlords were stepping on their oppression, on the oppression of the Jewish people. There was no shortage of bad things to talk about, but yet they talked about Jesus. We ought to learn from that, because as we look at the world today, listen to the news and watch the television, oh, it's depressing, but yet we ought to say, but I got hope. I got living hope. Amen. PA people, keep me turned down. I don't want to be too loud for people. Amen. A couple people have touched their ears. Me and I got a little loud on them. Amen. I'm sorry I got a loud voice. Amen. But I'll keep it down. We got to have hope, people. No matter how dark it may seem, we got to have hope. When there's thunder and there's storming outside, said, I got hope. When the war is talking about all on the news and it's talking about a nuclear attack, I got hope. I know one thing, it too shall pass. One of these days, and it won't be long, you're going to look for me and I'll be gone. One of these days, Jesus is going to crack the sky and he's going to say, all my people, come up hither. Amen. You got to have hope. Amen. The problem with many people today, they have lost hope. We cannot lose hope. I remember hearing a story of a lady. She had her first marriage was a horrible marriage, very abusive husband. After she got divorced, took a long time to get married again. And she got married. Oh, she was the happiest person in this world. And a few months later, her husband had a tragic accident. And he died. Her world was collapsed. She didn't want to live no more. She didn't want to do nothing no more. And the church was working hard to try to get her out of that despair. Thank God they had a United Methodist women group there. And they talked her into going on a cruise. So she went on a cruise. And when she first went on the cruise, she was kind of just taking it real slow or taking it real slow. This, after a few days, she started enjoying herself and enjoying herself. And she felt pretty glad, was glad she went on the cruise. And then this one guy at the table, whenever they would have dinner, he noticed this lady kept staring at him. And he looked at her. He didn't know why she was staring at him the way she was staring at him. So one day he just asked her. He said, excuse me, ma'am. He says, I noticed you've been staring at me. He said, have I met you before? She said, I am so sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be staring at you. She said, but you just have a strong resemblance of my third husband. She said, he said, third husband? How many times you been married? She said, twice. She had hope, amen. We got to hold on to some hope. We must hold on to hope no matter what. Even when we're going through trials and tribulations, we got to have some hope. I love it when I look in the Old Testament and I read about Job as he experienced all the trials and tribulations he was experiencing. He still held on to hope. After his 10 children died, after losing all his possessions and property, even after his body broke out with boils, he still had hope. Even when his wife came in the midst of her anguish and pain, and she said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Job said, you speak like a foolish woman. He kept hope. Job was able to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And in the end, he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed and worms destroyed its flesh, he said, yet in my flesh I will see God. I will see him for myself with my eyes and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Job had hope. We must have hope, people. Amen. We must have hope. We look at the passage of Scripture and we see that Simon rejoiced to see Jesus. We should rejoice when we met Jesus. Even though Simon was able to hold him in his arm, we can't hold Jesus in our arm, but we can open up our hearts and give Jesus a heart and invite him in. Amen. We sang that one song that says, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee as I walk every day close to thee. We want to get closer and closer to God so that we can be more like God. Simon rejoice. Anna rejoice. I rejoice. You rejoice. Everybody should be rejoicing to see Jesus. Even I've seen people on their deathbed, and they knew they would not be here much longer. And they say, baby, I love you. I say, but this world is not my world. Said, I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim passing through. He says, but I must see Jesus. I'll see you when you get to heaven. I told my mother when she was on her deathbed, I said, Mom, I'll see you in heaven. She said, okay, baby. I said, but I do want you to know, I don't plan to catch the next train. Amen. We talking about, I must see Jesus. I must see Jesus. We all got to make it our business to spread the good news so the world can come to understand they too must see Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for Jesus.